come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Our second reading is from Philippians, chapter 3, verses 7 to 16. It's on page 1180 from the Pew Bible. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through the faith, which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, we thank you for your words to us. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you. We thank you for these passages from the Bible which point us towards the great value of knowing you. And we pray as we spend some time now reflecting on what this means for us, help us to catch that fresh vision of you and draw closer to you. Inspire our hearts afresh, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, shall we take a show of hands? Who knows Jesus? Wonderful, that's great. Do you know, it's wonderful to know Jesus. Knowing Jesus. When Jesus talks about it in John 17, this is the start of his prayer. This is the prayer that's inspired us, that's helped us formulate our vision and our values. So this is what we're about as a church. We are people who are following Jesus and sharing the journey. That's the vision. That's where we're going. That's what we're about. And there's a number of values which help us in that. And we've looked at John 17 to try and get at some of the heart of this. But when Jesus starts that prayer in John 17, he starts by saying, this is what life is, knowing God and me, who God has sent. Knowing Jesus, that's life. That's life. There's nothing to compare. And this sort of knowledge, we're not just talking about getting some information in our heads about it. It's not just, you know, I've been married now for 50 and a bit years, and knowing Sarah doesn't just mean that I've got all her vital statistics, you know, measurements and hair colour and all this sort of stuff. I've sort of got some of her skin and put it under a microscope and analysed the cell structure. It isn't just about information. It's about a heart engagement. It's about knowing and feeling and being placed and connection. That's what the knowledge that we're talking about is, much broader than just in the head. It's the heart as well. And when Paul thinks about knowing Jesus, he says everything else is loss. Some translations say rubbish. The actual word means poo. Okay, everything else is done. Is that compared to the surpassing glory of knowing Jesus? It's not about what we do, it's about who we know. And so we get it in all sorts of ways through the Gospels. In John 15, we talk about the vine and those who are connected into the vine. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. And if we're connected in and abiding in him, then we bear the fruit. And there's that sense of knowing Jesus. It's actually the sense of connection with Jesus. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks a very interesting thing here. At the end of time, he says there's this day of judgment, and there'll be people who think they've done a good job. They've done lots of good things, but Jesus will say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." We weren't connected. Us knowing Jesus, Jesus knowing us, connection. That's what it's about. And when we were formulating these values, living in the love of the Father, knowing Jesus, growing in the unity of the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Bible, sharing life with our communities, finding joy in the journey, we deliberately kept this value simple, just two words. All the rest are at least five. And the challenge is a very simple one. Do we really know Jesus? How well do we know Jesus? Do you value knowing Jesus? In one sense, I put my hand up and say, yeah, I know Jesus. And in another sense, I think, how well do I really know? You know, how much more is there to discover? How connected could I be? I'm not what I was. I'm more connected than I was, but I'm perhaps not what I will be. Not what I should be, not what I could be. So maybe it's about attitude. Do you value knowing Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus? Does it matter to you if you haven't set aside even 5 minutes to pray over the last week? Not saying that you wouldn't do that, but you know, if you weren't to say your prayers in a week, would you care about it? Because not because prayer is the idol that we have to do this or whatever, but because this is a way that we can know Jesus, and it matters that we know Jesus. Or does it matter to you if your Bible's up on the shelf, you haven't read it for a long time, is there gathering dust? Is there something well buried? Oh, should we open the door? See if it can find its way out. Bird, the door is that way. Feel free to find your way out. May or may not. Oh, we'll have some more time for Does it matter? This is the question. Does it matter whether or not you're doing the stuff that helps you to know Jesus? Is your relationship with Jesus something that you actually really do care about? You know, if you don't go to church for a while, okay, but you feel you're growing a little bit colder towards God. You're losing sight of his love for you. You can feel it within yourself that you're beginning to drift. Do you care about it? Does it matter to you? Or actually, do you value knowing Jesus, keeping this alive? And this second value is related to the first, living in the love of the Father. We can't be truly living in the love of the Father without knowing Jesus. We can't be connected with Jesus without discovering something of the love of the Father. And yet, there is a distinction. And I love that our values have this Trinitarian structure to them. We access the Father through the Son. And Jesus came to show us what the Father is really like, to provide a new and living way for us to enter into God's presence. And so knowing Jesus helps us to find that security in the love of the Father. And we know Jesus by reading what's been written about him in the Bible. That's a good way to know Jesus, to find out some information, but then that helps us, inspires us. We know Jesus by spending time with him. Very simple. Actually setting aside a bit of time in our diaries to say our prayers. I know someone who used to have to get up at 5 or 6 in the morning to go to work, and he would work till very late. He found it very difficult. You know what he did? There would be break times in his day, and he would just go into his work van and close the door and just be in the presence of God. He'd find the time, he'd work it out. He's not very well at the moment, actually. We should pray for Steve, but finding the time to say our prayers, practicing his presence all through our days. And actually, it's not just the time that we set aside for a concentrated prayer, but all the time in everything we do, being aware that God is nearby, practicing his presence. And also, we know Jesus by having fellowship with other believers, by gathering together. This is the purpose of church, to encourage each other in our journeys with him. Okay. So, Jesus says this in the gospel reading that we had. I am the good shepherd, lay down my life for my people, and my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And they'll listen to my voice. One flock, one shepherd. So here's a question. Do we know God's voice? Something about knowing Jesus is about hearing from Jesus, about knowing what he's saying. And this is the expectation. So what does that mean? And this is interesting because I've talked to a number of people about this, even on the benefits day that we had when we launched the Vision and Values last month. There were people who were saying, look, I really struggle with this idea of hearing God's voice. I don't think it ever happens to me. I don't understand quite what it means. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to access this? What does it mean to know God's voice? While others are very certain about hearing God's voice. I'm very definite. This is what God said to me while I was walking along, and so on and so on. Now, the truth is, I think, those in the first camp probably hear from God more than they think. But it's just understanding the way in which God is speaking. And certainly, it's true that the very best of us get it wrong sometimes. We may think we've heard from God, but maybe it wasn't. And I know, I look back in my own experience, and there have been times when I've been very sure that I've heard certain things from God. And it's been times when I've really needed some certainty, some solidity. And so on. But more commonly, my experience is, I have a sense, I think this is right. Let's test it out. Let's ask others. Let's try. Let's make movement. Let's move and see what happens, and then continue to listen to God. And it's perhaps not absolutely certain. Something like Bev was saying, I've got this sense of God. I really felt God was saying, Salvation Army officer, but maybe that wasn't the way. But you move that way, you make progress, and then something else comes into the mix. So how does it work? What can we expect? Let's take a bit closer look at this to understand this a bit more. And we may get a sense, just as we have our prayer times, concentrated time we're praying, and we may just get a sense that the Holy Spirit is saying something to us. We may get some words that come to mind, and we think, oh, I'm not sure if that's just my thoughts, or if there's something there. And it may feel just like we've had an idea, but there's something that comes to us. We may get some sort of picture, an image of something that comes into our minds. Sometimes we get a very clear set of words that form in our minds as if we had heard someone say something, but without the actual voice. Very, very rarely I've heard people have actually heard a physical voice. Quite unusual, that. But more commonly, perhaps there's a sense of, oh, we've got these words in my head, as if someone said something, but it's not there. So it seems like it wasn't just from our imagination. Well, Paul's advice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 is this: test everything and hold on to what is true. So what do we do when we get a sense that maybe God may be speaking to us when we're in our prayer room? Well, we test it. How do we test it? We compare it with the Bible. We say, does it fit this thing? You know, I'm getting a sense that God's saying to me, I should have an affair with that person over there. I've genuinely come across that several times. You know, people think, I think this is what God wants for me. And you say, look, don't commit adultery, it's in there, right? So that's not God. It may sound like it, may feel like it, yeah, maybe, you know, you may get that image in your head. Let's not even think about that. But no, we test it against what's been revealed here. We also allow others to weigh. You say, well, okay, this seems to fit the scripture, but let's bring it to others and weigh it. And Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. You know, those who have some sense that God is saying, submit it to others and see if there's an agreement around it, especially those appointed to lead. We also examine our circumstances. We discern where is God active and where is he leading. Does what we're sensing come there, does it fit our circumstances? And if, we've sort of got a sense in our prayer time fits the Bible, others say, yeah, that kind of rings true with me. We look in our circumstances, we see God is active over there. This is what God seems to be up to. Then we can say, okay, let's proceed. Let's assume that we may be hearing right from God. Paul talks quite in length about this in 1 Corinthians 14, this whole idea of, particularly in public worship, how this should work its way out. You know, should we have in public worship people come and say, I've heard this from God, this is what God is saying, how does this work? How do we handle this in corporate worship, this idea of knowing Jesus, his sheep hearing his voice? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, Paul says, whatever you do, make sure you do everything decently and in order. Decently and in order. And he makes it very clear, 1 Corinthians 13, love is the crucial context. Where you've got people who are really loving one another, then this can work. Without that context, it can get dangerous. And in public worship, he starts 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, he says, when people do come to share something, they sense that God is maybe saying, it should be for encouragement, edification, and consolation. When we come for public worship, what we share at the front, make sure it's for encouragement, consolation, and edification, building people up. If you come because you think that so-and-so has done something naughty and they deserve a telling off and God isn't happy with them and you've got a prophetic word that's got something more of a rebuke around it, and sometimes, occasionally, you might sense that something's not quite right and there needs to be something with that, but don't come up and share it in the sharing time. Come and talk to some of the church leadership and say, I've got a sense that maybe we've gone a bit astray here. And we need to perhaps pray about that and see. But there's different ways to do it. In public worship, encouragement, building up, consolation, that's the test. And it's also important how we talk about these things. You know, if we kick off by saying, God said to me that this, what that means is if you have a different view, if in your prayer time you are sensing something else, well then, you've got to be wrong, and you're arguing against God. If you kick off by saying, look, when I was praying, I really got a strong sense that this is what the Holy Spirit might be saying. Does this ring true to you? Just allowing a provisionality for you to be wrong, right? Because it can happen. People can get it wrong. I remember Clifford Hill talking. He had a vision for a newspaper, a new kind of newspaper, a newspaper of integrity that would not do fake news, but report things right. This was quite a few years ago. And they got together, they commissioned some research. They said, there's a need for this, there's a market, we're going to do it. And they got some journalists, they got some praying people, some people who, you know, could be used in the prophetic gifting like this. They got together and they said, we really feel God wants us to launch this newspaper. We're going to call it Life Newspaper, we're going to go for it. And it didn't happen. And Clifford Hill, a couple of years later, he said, how is it that so many men and women of God thought they were hearing from God here? And actually, we got it wrong. We have to say now, looking back, we really got it wrong. It wasn't that we were hearing right, but some circumstances didn't work out. We really had it wrong. And he was reflecting on that, saying, you know, that does sometimes happen. There's a humility about how we come to this. And also, sometimes, we do hear right, but we need to ask the next question. You know, sometimes God might give us a sense of what the future holds for us if we continue the path we're on. And we may say, brilliant, we've heard something from God. I can take it from here. I'm going to run with it. And we try and run with it. And we say, I've heard what the future's going to hold. This is what God wants for us. Let's go. It may be God's given us a vision of what the future holds because he wants to warn us that it's not what he wants for us, that it wouldn't work well for us. You know, ask the next question. What does this mean? Why have you shown us this? Let's keep pursuing him. But also, really importantly, the New Testament makes it clear to us that prophecy today is collaborative. Right? We don't have the Old Testament prophets in quite the same way. Thus says the Lord. We have a body of people knowing Jesus together, discerning together what is the right way, and weighing what comes and what we hear. And so we listen to Jesus, we know Jesus, together as we spread our circumstances before the Lord in prayer. And so we have love, we have truth, we have prayer. They give us the healthy context for practicing hearing from God as we know Jesus. Do we have to have conversational intimacy with Jesus in order to truly know him? My sheep know my voice, they listen to me. And then do you find that, well, I don't feel that I really have that, so maybe I don't know Jesus, and then it gets unsettling. As I said, I think there are a lot of people who feel they don't hear from Jesus. Maybe they hear from Jesus more than they think. They just need to attune themselves to the language, right? As we learn the manner in which Jesus speaks today, as we keep love and truth and prayer paramount, as we come with humility, as we do this collaboratively, we'll find that God can and does speak today. And we can know his voice. Absolutely, yes. My sheep know my voice. But it might not look like how we imagine. But yes, we'll be able to hear and discern in knowing Jesus what role he calls us to have in the church, how he calls us to get involved as we follow him and share the journey in this place. It's something that we do all together. It's not something that Jesus calls the professionals to do while others watch and consume. We're all called to know Jesus and hear his voice together as we partner in the gospel. And Paul found out everything else, he says, I've counted as dumb rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. And sometimes we need to look at other things that are getting in the way of us knowing Jesus and lay them aside. Let's count them as much less important. We're not going to concern ourselves with that because we value knowing Jesus so much. To know him is real life. So that's it. It starts simply with wanting to know Jesus, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, desiring God, and then being willing to let go of anything that would obscure. And we find that God will reward those who diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We desperately need to know Jesus, and the good news is we can. So here we are. Let's finish off. This group of churches, we live out this value by teaching and preaching about Jesus in a number of places, by going into the school every week to tell the Bible stories, by sharing our knowledge of him in small groups, young and old, And as people get to know more about Jesus, we pray that they'll be inspired to make moves to get to know him personally. And we help others to live this by living it out ourselves. To know Jesus and to make him known. And then our Christianity becomes contagious as others get to know Jesus and hear his voice as well. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for giving us your words in the Bible to guide us, to help us navigate through life, not on our own, but knowing you and knowing your voice. Help us to be humble, to be open, to be willing to draw in with you. Help us to know you by the reading of our Bibles. Help us to know you as we say our prayers. Help us to know you as we practice your presence every moment of every day. Help us to know you as we gather together and encourage one another in our journeys. Help us to know you in the bread and in the wine, which we eat and drink in a moment. Help us to hear your voice together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue as we respond in some worship, and there's opportunity if you'd like prayer about something in your own life or those whom you love in the back corner. Just make your way to the corner and there'll be people there to pray with you. Otherwise, let's enjoy singing God's praise.